Good morning, church. What a good morning it's been already. Amen. All right. Exciting times, and we're thankful for Austin's decision and following the Lord. And as we said, it's not always going to be easy, but it'll definitely be worth it in the end. So we're excited about that. One of my favorite scenes, and I can't remember if it was season one or season two of The Chosen. Demon-possessed person walking down the road. Jesus encounters them. Jesus heals them. And John the Immerser and two or three other disciples are standing in the background. And it was just, when it happened, I laughed. I thought it was so funny, but it was so great. Because as Jesus lays his hands on the person for them, for the demon-possessed possession to leave this person, they fell to the ground. Everyone's standing there like, what just happened? And John the Immerser is in the background and he goes, yeah! And so how many of us felt like that this morning as she came out of the watery grave of baptism? Amen? Yeah! All right. And I just thought that was so exciting. This morning, the great way to start off, and there ought to be a whole lot more things, I think, during our time together and in church services where we're like, yeah, right? And so if we have something in you this morning, don't be hesitant to shout it out. Okay, Brock? I know you're just chomping at the bit there, okay? All right, but don't do it for me. Do it for Jesus. Amen? All right. Anyway, so I couldn't help but think that this is with the message this morning, the Lord had a far greater introduction to it than I could have come up with what has transpired here this morning. But we're going to be talking about being led by the Spirit. And in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we see Jesus being led away into the wilderness by the Spirit, mind you, to be tempted by Satan. Now, that doesn't mean that the Spirit is doing the tempting, but this is all necessary to happen so that as what we've been sharing on Thursday or on Wednesday nights, on Sunday nights with Hebrews is one of those passages of scriptures that Jesus was tempted in all points as we and yet without sin. That this whole 40 days that he's in the wilderness, we focus on three temptations. I believe he was tempted the entire time. Different things coming about this, and it may not have been one right after the other, but I believe that it was ongoing temptations, and the scripture just looks at three of them for us, and we're going to look into those more specifically. But I just wanted to kind of give you an idea of where we're coming from there, that Jesus uses all the same tools to deal with Satan and his temptations that we've been given today. And so many people say, well, you know, he had an advantage being the Son of God, and he had the, but this is where we find his humanity. This is where we find him as the incarnated God, that he had put on flesh, that he's being met with these temptations, and he had to make the choice. And each one of you today have to make that choice. And we see that so often in our daily life, that every day we have to wake up and make a choice. Are we going to follow Jesus? Or are we going to be succumb to the works of the devil? And so as we look at this, the first thing is Jesus faces temptation just like we do. Verses 1 through 3, it talks about that in Matthew chapter 4. But there's two things that I want to share. Obviously, put Matthew 4:1 in your notes. But if you would back up just a little bit into Matthew 3:16, when Jesus was being baptized, John the Immerser lowers him down into the water. He's immersing him. And a voice from heaven, which is the Father. We've got Jesus there. And then something happens. Now, we know that Jesus was not immersed for the forgiveness of his sin. Right? No sin. Didn't need that. But it was done as an example for us. He said it was done to fulfill all righteousness. Right? But then something happens after he was immersed. Same thing that happens to us. But in Jesus' case, it was in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit came and it says it lit upon them or landed upon him. And at our time of immersion, that's when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I find that interesting that Jesus didn't need to be immersed for the forgiveness of sin, as we understand. However, for the Holy Spirit to acknowledge Christ in what he had done is the same thing the Holy Spirit does for us. Because as Scripture has told us later on, the Holy Spirit is our what? Our guarantor. Or it is our seal of approval by God in our life. And so that was almost as if the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit sealed the approval. Amen. And he does the same thing. I just thought that was really neat for us to consider as we looked at this. The Holy Spirit then, as we move into chapter 4, it says in different translations, the Holy Spirit either forced or the Holy Spirit led or the Holy Spirit urged Jesus. Anyway, he was driven by the Holy Spirit. Jesus fasted then while he was out there. We fast when heavy decisions or mental battles are ahead of us. We see that all through Scripture. Daniel fasted for 21 days. Moses fasted for 40 days. Elijah fasted for 40 days. And here we see Jesus fasting for 40 days. Jesus said, "Days will come when the bridegroom leaves. That's when my disciples will fast." They're not to fast while I'm here. They're not to. But there'll be a time when they will fast. In a nutshell, fasting is about aligning our attitude up with God's attitude. It's about breaking chains off our lives that are holding us back. So many times, I think we, at least myself, when we think of fasting, we immediately go to what? Staying away from food, right? But really what fasting is giving up something. Is giving up something for the Lord. So if we say we're going to fast for the Lord, not saying that couldn't be of the food time, because we see that several times in Scriptures. But how about if you're facing an addiction with a time to fast? Now that could be the addiction of gossip. It could be the addiction of sweets. Maybe we need to fast from TV. I heard Rick in the beginning of his class today talk about his self-directed fast from the internet, but because the provider helped him out. But have we ever thought that maybe we as Christians need to fast from our phone once in a while? Maybe we could just shut it down? Oh, but I need it for work. But you know what? Work will be there Tuesday. Right? If not, let's say the Lord comes back before Tuesday, then you didn't matter anyway, did it? And so maybe we need to fast from some things. We fast because sometimes the temptation can be so strong that we make stupid decisions. I don't need you to put your hands up because I know every one of you have, and myself included. I'll put up two. But I've made stupid decisions in my life. Fasting is about showing God that we really do believe. And what did Jesus, as he had fasted for 40 days, and Satan offers him that bread? Command these stones to become bread. Right? Do you think Jesus went the whole 40 days in the wilderness and didn't think of that on his own? Oh, man. No, I'm out here by myself. Right? I'm tasting it right now. Remember the old play that used to go on at the kindergarten with a slice, slice. The bread looks nice. Oh, put butter on the bread, right? And stuff like that. Oh, you can almost taste those buttery biscuits right now. Amen? Those of you that are planning on Texas Roadhouse, you got those yeast rolls. You can almost taste the cinnamon butter on them right now. That Jesus was there. He could have done that. But he chose not to, because he knew, and he reminds us something, that man does not live by bread alone. When I was young growing up, I remember there was a commercial for Breyers ice cream. And they were talking about all their different flavors. And at the end it was, and man does not live by vanilla alone. Right? And so as we look at that, we're reminded of those things. But he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That means from the Bible, from what we've been given here. And remember, Jesus is the Logos. Jesus himself is the word that is given. And so as we look at that and we're reminded of that, that maybe it's not always just man does not live by bread, but man does not live by sweets alone. That'll mess you up, right? Oh, I could eat this all the time. No, you couldn't, right? First of all, your blood sugar would go through the roof. For those of us that struggle with that, right? You try your best to keep it down, right? Man cannot live or does not live by TV alone, but by every word that proceeds. Man does not live by phone alone, but by every word that proceeds. So what's more important in your life? The first one or the second one? And this is coming from Jesus, who was really hungry. 40 days. 40 days. I love this illustration. Consider a scales. I should have brought one. I got one I got from my grandmother, Nelson, that used to sit in their house. And it was just a scales and nothing special with it, but it was just one of those things. And so what's going to tip the scale in your direction? You got the world on one side. We've got the spirit on the other. This is one of those things where less is more. Right? If we take away less, if we have less of the world, which way does the scale tip? In favor of the spirit. If we have less of the Spirit, which way does the scale tip? More of the world. Things of this world should not hold an attraction for us. For this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up, right? In First Merchants Bank, right? Joe Beth just throwing a, you know, advertisement out for you. Is that where our treasures are? No. The treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Remember, the most important things on this earth are not things. Giving the Holy Spirit our undivided attention. Be led by Him. Can we quench the Spirit? The Bible says we can. But to give the Holy Spirit our undivided attention, this is what will get us through temptation. You know how I know that? Because it worked for our Savior. Jesus did it and it worked. It'll work for us. Verse 2 says, okay, so he's talking about not eating. What happens when we don't eat? Right? Let's go. Logan, right? Yeah, he doesn't know because he eats all the time, Zeb says, right? Right, I was going to say, so what happens when it's been like 27 minutes and you haven't ate? I got to eat, right? I'm feeling hungry. Jesus hadn't ate for 40 days. He became hungry. But as we've talked about, this shows us what we already knew. His humanity. He's not only the Son of God, as we find out in the book of Matthew, Jesus' favorite phrase to be referenced at is what? The Son of Man. The Son of Man. But notice what happens, verses 2 and 3. Jesus became hungry. There became a deficiency in his life somewhere. And then what do we find out in verse 3? And you can count on it happening, people. You know how they say 7 days without prayer makes 1 week? 7 days without Bible study makes 1 week? Right? Not 1 7-day period, but makes 1 week. But Jesus became hungry, and what happens in verse 3? The tempter shows up. The devil comes about. Right? All of a sudden, Jesus is hungry. It's been building. Right? We all know the Snickers commercial. Right? We all get a little hangry from time to time. Right? Cross between anger and hungry. Hangry. And so what happens when we get hangry? We start making stupid choices sometimes. Dumb decisions. But Jesus, being led by the Spirit, becomes tempted, becomes hungry, and the tempter shows up. Not a coincidence. Not a coincidence. Satan knows exactly when to show up. And this is why we must not give him opportunity. The devil knows our natural longings, desires, our wants. He acts upon these to pervert them. For example, natural desires aren't necessarily wrong. To eat is okay. To overindulge is another thing. It ruins our weight, our blood pressure, our cholesterol, our blood sugar. Sex, there's nothing wrong with it. God created us to have sex. But man perverts this. Sex outside of marriage is in violation of marriage. And we had a discussion the other day in our Bible class, and I said, see, we always say, well, somebody messed up. And I said, let's call it what it is. And in this case, it would have been fornication. Because when we say messed up, it's like, whoops, I messed up. No, it's fornication and it's sin. It's adultery and it's sin. Can I get an amen, church? And so as we look at that, God created us to conquer things and to love people. But man perverts this. We want to love things and control people. Satan attacks areas in our lives where he senses that we are potentially vulnerable. And so, when a weakness comes, you can count on the tempter showing up. But not only does Jesus face temptation, Jesus also fights temptation. Verses 3 through 9 is what we want to look at and mark that down for looking at later. But there are three types of temptation found here. John tells us that as well. But it's instant gratification, instant notoriety, and instant ownership or power. Verse 3, Satan says, command these stones to become bread. In other words, he's telling Jesus, get instant gratification. Feed me. Right? The desire to have it now. No waiting. We have waited long enough, the devil will say. We live in a culture that adults feed themselves instant gratification, and in time, many times, in turn, feed their children this philosophy as well. The Lord is not saying that we cannot have things, that we cannot enjoy things, but the idea is what Satan's trying to get across to us is we no longer have to be patient. We no longer have to build character. We no longer know what it is to strive for something to make us into better people. Now we write a check, swipe a card, steal it, cheat for it. I want it now, and I do whatever I need to do to get it. The devil tempts us towards instant gratification. Jesus became hungry, and the tempter said, turn these stones into bread. Fresh baked. Right? Buttery. Maybe a little honey on top. Bread. And Jesus says, but man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What an insult to God to love his fallen world more than heaven. That's an insult to God. Just the possibility that we care more for this world than for his word. But that didn't work, so Satan went into instant notoriety. Notice the devil knows how to quote Scripture, right? Jesus quotes Scripture, and we're like, yeah, get him, throw the punch. But Satan stands right up and throws Scripture at him, right? Be careful. Because we can take Scripture and make it justify our sin. What the tempter is saying to Jesus is you can have instant notoriety. Jump! God won't let you die. So let's cut to the chase. Just throw yourself down from here. Everyone will see you. Everyone will see the angels raise you back up and they will praise you. They will praise God. That almost sounds good, don't it? That almost sounds spiritual. That almost sounds godly. We are throwing our trust into the hands of God. No, because we're falling into the trick and the snare of Satan. What Satan's trying to say to Jesus is they'll admire you. You know, you deserve it. Right? Praise belongs to you. Let me give you this, Satan says. Doing so, love me. Value me. Think well of me. I want it all. You know you do. You want to feel good. You want people to like you. And Satan says, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from here. And they will come to you and they will love you. They will value you. You won't need these 12 miserable disciples. You'll have the whole world flocking around you. Now all you have to do is jump. There's nothing to think about. Just do it. To the instant notoriety, Jesus said, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. God blesses and rewards as men prove themselves faithful. There's no wheeling and dealing, no shortcuts. God rewards and blesses the men and women who are faithful day in and day out. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who sometimes seek him. No. To those who diligently seek him. It's not just when you feel like it. It's just not when things are going good. But it's him who diligently seeks him or faithfully seeks him. It's a relationship. It's a growth process. He is not your personal Santa Claus or a genie in a bottle. He's our Father. Prove faithful and see what he does. The only thing harder than waiting on God, listen to this, the only thing harder than waiting on God is wishing you had. Instant ownership and power, he moves on to. And all the kingdom of the world, these will be yours. This will be the temptation to man. It says, you can have it all. Think of the power. Think of the accumulation of property and wealth. All temptation comes with a price. Instant anything comes at a cost. The price or cost to bow down to Satan. Our text says to worship. In the Greek, this is proskuneo, which means to prostrate yourself, to kiss towards. Satan tempts Jesus with giving him the world, to give him his world back, not bowing down before God's arch enemy. So what about us? What do we want so much that we'll sell our soul for it? Right? My grandpa Nelson used to use this phrase that I know he told me he'd heard it from somebody else, but another preacher had said that, you know, people will be asked, I wouldn't trade my soul for $1 million, you know, and be all happy about it. But the preachers then say to him, you're right, but you've traded it for so much less. I wouldn't trade my soul for $1 million. But they ask you to work overtime and you traded it for 12 hours of time and a half. You're right. You wouldn't trade it for $1 million. You traded it for so much less. Right? You don't have to be there for the service. You're right. You don't have to be there. But what about that new Christian that looks across the audience and says, I wonder where they're at? You're right. You wouldn't trade it for $1 million. You'll trade it for so much less. We lie to ourselves to get what we want, but we need to be reminded if friends will not walk in the narrow way with us, then we must not walk in the broad way with them. There are some times that when we become a Christian, it means the end of a relationship. A physical, earthly relationship will probably come to an end. But that's why we need to look around. That's one of the things we encouraged Austin with this morning, is that we know she's got her physical family here, those that love her, but now she's got the body of Christ, the spiritual family that's all here for her, that all wants to see her be successful in the eyes of God, all that want to help her reach her goal of going to heaven. When we walk in the Spirit of God, He gives us the power to say no to those things. When we walk in the Spirit of God, He allows us to quote God's Word. When we walk in the Spirit, He allows us to see our way more clearly. Kevin and I were out there talking before, in between services, talking about allergies, and Kevin's got other things with his eyes, but he's just like, my eyes have just been tearing for, I don't know if allergies or what it is, but it just seems like they'll control. And his is like, mine just every third blink gets blurry. And that's what Satan wants to do to us, spiritually speaking, is he wants for there to be a distraction so we're not focused, and he wants us not to see clearly. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. What it is and what it is, so many times, people say, I just can't handle it. And I'll be like, well, apparently the Lord thinks you can. Right? Stop and think about it. Do we believe what God's Word says or not? Because He says He's not going to tempt us beyond what we are able. He's not going to allow us to be tempted. So if we face a temptation, He knows that if we use the same tools that Jesus used, we don't have to give in. That is one of the greatest ways that the Lord proves His faithfulness, His faith in us. It may sound hard, may be difficult, but He says we will be able to endure it. Not only does Jesus face temptations and Jesus fight temptation, but Jesus triumphs over temptation. Verses 10 and 11. And he was led by the Holy Spirit. He knew the word of the Lord, for he was the word. He knew how to apply it. He prayed and he fasted. So how are we doing so far? Remember, if we use the same tools that Jesus did, Jesus allowed the Spirit to lead him. Do we do the same? He knew the word of God. Do we memorize Scripture? Do we read Scripture? Do we know Scripture? Then do we know how to apply it? That's why I love the book of James. It's all about application. It's taking it, and it's where the rubber meets the road. It's where you've been given, here we go, here we go, here we go. It's kind of like when you do a lab in science class that the teacher's been teaching you all this stuff, and then they finally trust you with a knife to cut up that frog. And so how are you going to do? Right? I saw some of them just spit up a little bit in their mouth. Right? So how are you going to do? It's making application. The Lord has taught us, told us, showed us how to go about it. And then it's called life that we're going to be tossed into. And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we have the opportunity to win one for the Lord. Verse 10, he says, "Begone, Satan, for God only should you worship and serve." Matthew 16:23, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." James 4:7, we reference the application, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Here's what I love about this passage. is the devil left him, and look who showed up. The angels. The ministering ones. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 talk about those ministering spirits. Are you tired of the life? That Satan wants you to live, and resist him. When we are led by the Spirit, we will practice walking in the Spirit. We need to do as Jesus did. Practice prayer. Practice fasting. What do we think we can't give up for Jesus? That's probably what we need to start with. Oh, I couldn't give that up. Are you going to let that dominate your life? Practice scripture reading, memorization, application, so that not only can we withstand the verbal attacks, but we know how to come back at them as well. It all goes back to the beginning of our text in 4:1, where it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. Today, church, as we come to a close, I want to encourage each and every one of you, as Christians that have this Holy Spirit in your life, let Him lead. Let Him guide. Let Him direct. Because He'll never take you astray. May face some difficult situations. But He's given us all the tools that our Lord had to make it through. So you can as well. Determine each and every morning, wake up, say, today I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because I guarantee you, if we don't make that choice specifically, Spirit will definitely lead us, but it won't be the Holy One. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray that today would be your day of salvation. The good thing that's already is we're already filled up and ready to go. Right? I mean, in less than 2 minutes, you could be on your way to heaven. Right? And I say that because we never know when this world may come to an end. You know, we've had recently a lady, Nell Haney, 99 years old. We kind of saw it coming. Right? We kind of saw the end coming. Right? But there was preparation there. We also have our young friend that we didn't see coming. And at 19 years old was called home. But preparation was made there as well. How sad for the Lord to call us home or to blow those trumpets and earth time be over and we not be ready to go. Church, are you ready to go? Mm-hmm. Maybe today. May not. I don't know. But the thing is, you don't know. And so we encourage each one to be ready. Be led by the Spirit in case the Lord returns. That starts by believing in Jesus Christ. Repenting of our sin. That was one of the things we talked to Austin about this morning, was personal repentance of sin. That she confessed those before her Lord. I don't need to know about those. Jesus is the one that forgives them. Right? I'm just grateful that He does. Amen? Repent of our sin. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed. Be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And live faithfully. The water's ready. Now's the time. No delay. Come to Him before it's too late. Begin your journey being led by the Spirit. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?